The following program is brought to you in living color.
What is a grape? A grape is a vine that may be a Chardonnay, a Cabernet, a Merlot. Is it like a small potato? No. No, there's no relationship with a potato. I would like to see one day a grape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A grapes? A grape. Yeah. Grape.
Yeah.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
You ain't no link. No, miss. That's what my poor old mother would say to you.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. We are your media resource. Yes, I guess you can say we are your dummies for wine. Or at least Kent is, as we proved last week.
Wait, hold on. Don't start. So are you in a better mood today than you were last week?
No, I am not in a better mood today. In fact, I'm kind of hitting that sullen, sulky, pouting version of me that usually happens late summer.
Oh.
So I'm just really kind of contrary all the way around.
Well, let's get you into winter. That's all I can say.
Yes, at least last week I was the angry Laura. Now I'm just so far past
you're
angry.
You're the apathetic Laura.
I am. I just don't care. I am. This is the Wine Crush dedicated to I just really don't care anymore. I'm tired of being mad and aggravated.
It's when you need a glass of wine.
No, I'm sick of wine too. It goes back to now I've been sick for 2 weeks. And so I've been taking antibiotics for 2 weeks. And as we've talked about on previous shows, when you take antibiotics, it changes your palate so that everything tastes like you're licking a tin can.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even drink.
So what would you like the show to be about today?
Whatever the hell I want it to be about today. That's how we're going to roll, because after all, we just don't care.
All right.
All right. So seriously, we are going to have some fun. The apathetic attitude does come into play this time of year, simply because I think everyone is sitting and waiting in wine world. Yes, if you look at all of our compatriots on the West Coast, whether it's Napa, Sonoma, Washington, Oregon, they're all in the same boat. You just sit and stare at the vines and think, do something. Do something. Because you know that once something starts doing something, it's going to be madhouse, it's going to be chaotic, adrenaline's going to be running, and things will pick up and life will be better. But the holding pattern that we get into this time of year in the wine business, it does get a little, shall we say, dreary. And so we are going to try and work our way out of that. I've got great help to get us out of that. I have Mr. Jack Stewart. Of course, anyone who knows anything about wine knows Jack Stewart. He's the man that built Silverado. But past that, right now, he is the winemaker and general manager of Benicera Vineyards. It's a family-owned winery specializing in Italian varietals and Zinfandel and St. Helena. So Jack's going to join us today and talk about his background in the wine business, and we can talk to him about how he is, probably too, just sitting and staring. But we do have good news on the front. The wine grape harvest has begun in Sonoma. Officially, yes, some of the grapes are being picked. It's moving in the right direction, but it'll be interesting to see what comes out of California this year, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, I know you're all hanging on the edge of your seats waiting for my weekly wine recommendations. And I've got to admit that even though I complain about being ill and taking different kind of drugs, I did find two wines this week that I tasted that, despite the fact that everything I taste tastes like a tin can, these wines did really stand up and stand out. I'm going to start with the red for a change, just because I have been on this soapbox about America talking about drinking big, bold wines, but actually liking soft and sweet. Chateau St. Michel and Columbia Crest, as all y'all know, are two of my favorite Washington State wines, simply because they just keep coming up with great products. I just tried the new Columbia Crest H3 Merlot. And it's one of those wines that's going to appeal to everybody. It drinks like a cab. It tastes like a Merlot. It's very soft. It's very supple. It's got all that great black fruit in it. And it's not one of those wines you have to sit around and stare at and wait for. The moment you pop the cork off the bottle, it actually tastes like it's supposed to. No need to let it breathe. No need to worry about temperature. The wine is very, very good. Not to mention, it is very value conscious. And that's what we're all looking at. I have decided in the same portion of my life that I'm going to sell my house and buy a new car. So I am really into the whole value aspect of wine these days. You know, we get bored in the summertime. We look for things to do. Apparently, I like to do things that are expensive. So since I'm going to spend the rest of my life spending the money I don't have on cars and new houses, I've got to be more value-oriented when it comes to my wines. So at least for the next 2 weeks, you can expect value-oriented wines. Kent, I see your smile on there. You're just grinning. What gives?
No. I'm just listening to you.
Oh, you're actually going to listen this time?
I was reminiscing back to last week when we were talking about
value wines.
And I got screamed at.
Well, yeah, no, that's why I was trying to see if you were dumb enough to step in the fray again.
No.
I figured if I said value wines 3 or 4 times, either you'd run out of the booth screaming or you'd step in.
Only thing I'm saying to you today is yes, ma'am.
You are very, very smart. And if I could just clone you with everyone else I'm dealing with. All right, so sorry to get off track, but yes, our red recommendation for the week is Columbia Crest H3 Merlot. Now, our white recommendation is going to confound some of you, but it's worth looking for. Silver Palm Cabernet, I have spoken about on the show in the past. It is an on-premise only brand, beautiful label, just beautiful packaging the way it's decorated. Well, Silver Palm Cabernet has been on the market probably 3-4 years. I'm sure someone out there will correct me. They always do. They have finally produced its matchmate, and it's a North Coast Chardonnay. And the Chardonnay comes in the same beautiful bottle in the sense that it's very elegant, it's very well packaged, has a great weight to it, and plus the Chardonnay in it's outstanding. Now, this is not a second label for anybody. This is just an on-premise only entry. Now, of course, this means I'm going to get the phone calls and the emails. Laura, what do you mean about on-premise only? This means that if you go to your local Mega Mart and look at the wine buyer and say, I want a case of Silver Palm Chardonnay, he's going to look at you and say, huh? Yes, it's not something they're necessarily going to know. But this is something I encourage you when you're going out to your finer dining establishments, when you're going out to restaurants over the next 60 days. This is something you are going to see in abundance. You're going to find it on table tents. You're going to find it on by the glass selections. And it is very much worth tasting the wine. So I encourage you, go out, taste the Silver Palm Chardonnay, the matchmate to the hugely successful Silver Palm Cabernet. And I promise you, you won't be disappointed. So there are your wine recommendations for the week. Once again, we're going value conscious. And we're going to have, a chance to find really good, inexpensive wines over the next few weeks. So that's my challenge to you. Think about the wines I've recommended in the past. We've gone from Donna Estates at $225 a bottle. We've gone all the way down to different things that run in the $399, $499 category. But what's appealing to you? We've all hit the point where the economy's turning around. We're all spending a little more on disposable income on drinking. So what are you drinking these days? Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me, LauraLawson@WineCrush.com. And for those of you who want to do a little bit more, subvertedly, you can go to the website, WineCrush.com, and you can actually call us from there. You can email us from there. You can submit a question. You can have all kind of fun. Yes, working on the social media thing, I would love for all of you to take a moment to read my blogs. I've thrown a couple things in lately of my blogs that I just knew somebody would take issue with and somebody'd want to argue with me. But yeah, not so much. So either y'all are the most passive, kind, wonderful bunch of listeners I could ever look for, or you're just not paying attention to me. Either way, it doesn't work well. So let's get on the ball. Let's get on the website, and let's hear what you have to say about what's going on. Well, speaking of what's going on, we are kind of joking around about it being the doldrums, and I think we're in the dog days. Kent, are we in the dog days?
We're officially in the dog days, yeah.
When do the dog days start?
Usually, somebody once told me late July.
Late July.
Yeah.
All right, so as we hang out in the dog days of summer, waiting for harvest to begin, we can think about all the great things we've learned so far this year about wine and in the wine industry, and we can look ahead to next year. Now, looking ahead, it's fun. We're getting the reports about the so-called harvest that has started in Sonoma, the people who are waiting to pick grapes in Napa, and, of course, further up the coast. And everyone is coming back saying that this year's very, very cold weather has obviously put them behind schedule. You know, Sonoma's already picking 2 weeks behind schedule. Napa's going to be maybe 3, maybe 4. Washington State's praying just to get it in before it rains. But ultimately, what is that going to do for you? Now, I have talked ad nauseum all year about what a great year this is to be a wine drinker. Not necessarily a winery, not a wine buyer, not a wholesaler, not a restaurant, but a wine consumer, someone who goes out and buys wine. Well, now that we're having a late harvest, and now that because we're having a late harvest, we're going to have a shorter crop, I suggest all of you get out right now and start drinking wine. and drink what's out there, because this time next year, I think we're going to have some amazing white wines out there. I think we're going to see some stellar stuff that spent some time on oak that's very refreshing. But if the crop continues and the harvest continues along the lines that we are seeing right now, we're going to have a smaller harvest. That means a smaller crop, which means less wine for all of us to be had. Who knows how that's going to go, whether it's going to be very good, very bad. You'll have to tune into the Wine Crush to find out this time next year. Well, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we'll have Mr. Jack Stewart join us, and we can get his impressions on what's going on the West Coast.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is the Wine Crush. Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like,
"Don't make me turn this car around," or "because I said so," or "don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
You belong to the gang, and you say you care.
my heart.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. I've had a lot of great guests on the show, but right now this special guest gives me a great honor to introduce him. I was reading an article early today about the most influential wine people of the 70s, and this fine gentleman was among them. It's with great pleasure I introduce Jack Stewart to The Wine Crush. Jack, welcome to The Crush.
Thank you, Laura. It's great to be with you.
It is so much fun. Now, it is my understanding this is your first visit to The Crush, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. I've had a lot of your compatriots, had a lot of your good friends, so it's really an honor to have you on the show. I think when people think about Napa Valley, they think about Silverado Trail, they think about everything. Jack Stewart has to be one of the forefront people in their mind. So for our listeners, of course, you helped found Silverado. If I remember correctly, you were one of the designers of the winery itself, correct?
Yeah, I was very much involved in the project, literally from the ground up. The first time I set foot on the property, the winery site was an old abandoned rock quarry.
I never realized that was a rock quarry. It makes sense now, having been there.
Yeah, yeah. And spent 25 years at it, helped build the brand as well as the winery, make the first wines, supervise the winemaking for a quarter century, and... it was a great ride.
Just invested a little bit of time there, just a small amount.
Just a little
bit. Well, of course, yep. Now what's great, you know, I have to admit, when I think about Silverado, I think about Cabernet. There are just not really too many ways around that. But you have left the Cabernet Trail behind, and you are now doing something entirely different. Explain to our listeners what Benicera is, and explain the new love affair we're having with Calital varietals.
Well, it's not necessarily even a new love affair. You know, when I was at Silverado in the early 90s, Ron and Diane Miller, the owners, and I had been to Tuscany a couple of times, gotten interested in Sangiovese, even hoped that we could buy a property in Italy. And I had visions of spending half the year over there and raising my children bilingual and all of that. As it turned out, we never did buy a property, but we did the next best thing, which was to plant Sangiovese for Silverado. And we started making it in 1992, so I've actually got a couple of decades' experience with Sangiovese, which is, as you know, the principal red grape of Tuscany and all the great Chianti Classico and Brunello wines. And so about 7 or 8 months ago, the Benish family, the owners of Benessere, which, by the way, in Italian means well-being and prosperity, they called me out of retirement to... come back into the wine business and run this winery for them. So I've been digging in and getting back to making Sangiovese on this very nice property that's about 4 miles north of St. Helena in the Napa Valley.
Now, how is that? Silverado, of course, has grown into be a namesake and now is grown up to be something that everyone knows, and there's a lot of cases produced. Are you having a hard time shifting from such a huge production to a smaller production? How mentally have you adapted to that kind of shift?
Well, it's not really that much of a mental shift, and frankly, it's easier to be looking out for 4,500 to 5,000 cases as opposed to, you know, 80 to 100,000 at Silverado. All the challenges, all the issues, all the concerns are the same. It's just all on a smaller scale. And actually, it's a step up from what I was doing for the last 5 years, which was starting my own Cabernet brand with a couple of partners, which is called Trivium.
Trivium, like T-R-I-V-I-U-M?
Yeah, T-R-I-V-I-U-M. It means a place where three ways meet. There are three partners. We've all been in the business our entire adult lives. And one of my partners is Doug White, who whose family owns the famous Llewellyn Vineyard in St. Helena. That's where the fruit comes from. So that was always a sort of a part-time but very passionate pursuit, and it's still ongoing. But now my day job is here at Benessere, and these are wonderful vineyards also. It's a great site between the Western Hills and the Napa River and some gravelly clay soil that's perfect for Sangiovese and for Zinfandel. We also make Zinfandel, and we grow a little Cabernet that goes into our proprietary blend that's known as Phenomenon. It's a blend of Sangiovese, Cabernet, a little Syrah, and sometimes a little Merlot as well.
Well, how appropriate that it'd be a phenomenon. Number one, it'd be a phenomenon if you actually weren't involved in Cabernet. But true, you definitely are a phenomenon when it comes to Napa. Now, I got a question for you. I know this is kind of off the beaten track, but I have talked to a lot of your counterparts over the last few years. Looking at what's happening with Napa, with all the garage wineries that have sprung up, all the cult wineries that have sprung up, are you thinking that Napa's on the right path, or are you thinking it's just getting more convoluted with everything everyone's doing?
Well, I think, our success has led to, as you put it very well, a convoluted path here. There are so many brands now competing for the same few placements at restaurants, competing for the same reviews in the wine press. So our success and this geometric expansion of the number of brands, most of them very small, have made it difficult for any single small producer to succeed. The good news is that the level of quality has improved vastly. The bar has been risen, and so the overall quality is good. I think the pricing has gotten out of hand on some of these micro wineries that are.
That's a very gracious way to put that.
The very small wineries that come in with very little background in the industry command a high price because they think they're putting so much money into this project, they deserve this high price. And so sometimes consumers can get fooled. You don't necessarily associate a high price with high quality, or not even necessarily a quality issue, but the issue of what style of wine are you interested in. There's been a big fad for very highly extracted, high-alcohol wines that I think has turned off a lot of people who can remember, like I do, very graceful wines made even as far back as the 60s. I might not have been exactly legal in the 60s, but I was drinking wine back then and then making it from the mid-70s on. And occasionally I'll pull a wine out of my cellar that's 30 years old, and it's a revelation. My son-in-law was born in 1978, and for his 30th birthday a couple of years ago, I pulled out a 1978 Durney Vineyards Carmel Valley Cabernet that I had made. It was actually my first commercial wine as a winemaker where I was in charge of the entire operation. And it had, at the time of its release, it had won a gold medal in the Orange County Fair in California, which used to be quite an accolade when the various county fairs were very active in evaluating wines. Well, we had this for my son-in-law's birthday party, and the wine was so youthful and so lovely and so balanced and graceful, it was quite an eye-opener.
Hey, Jack, if you don't mind, could you hold on the line while we take a small break? And I'd love to pick up where we left off at the top of the next segment.
You bet. I'll be here.
All right, hold on for me. We're going to take a small break right here in The Crush, but when we return, we'll continue with Mr. Jack Stewart.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Laura Lawson, you're listening to The Wine Crush, and right now we are speaking with Jack Stewart, one of the true legends of Napa Valley. Jack, are you still with us?
I'm with you.
Hey, Jack, I was loving the story you were telling about pulling out a bottle, because it kind of gets me off on a track that sometimes I don't get on, in the sense that when people talk about Napa Valley and they talk about what people are doing, they talk about powerful, they talk about heavy, they talk about heady, they talk about great, amazing wines. But you said something that I rarely ever associate with Napa, and I'd like to explore that. When's the last time anybody read anything about a graceful wine coming out of Napa?
Well, I think, you know, there are graceful wines coming out of Napa these days, but you're right. When you read the press, when you read the promotional materials of various wineries, you don't hear that word very much. And it power seems to be what sells and what gets good reviews. And people need to remember that wine is mostly intended as part of a very nice meal. If you're lucky enough to be able to cook a nice one at home or go out to a nice restaurant with a good bottle of wine, it's a component of a wonderful social and familial experience, and it's all supposed to go together. The company, the table decorations, the flowers, the candles, the food, the wine, it's all supposed to be part of a very lovely experience where everything works well with everything else.
It's all supposed to be balanced. It seems
exactly.
Like today, people tend to put more focus on the table can be beautiful, the company can be outstanding, but if the label that's on the table isn't up to par, it seems like it can ruin some people's experiences.
Yes, and I've found that when you put a paper bag over the bottle and people don't see the label, they really have a more honest opinion of the wine. And one thing that I've always tried to say to customers is trust your own judgment. You know, don't drink a wine based on simply a review or a recommendation from a retailer unless it is something that you like. Let people know what kind of wines you like, and seek those out. that don't depend on other people to tell you what you should drink.
Yes, for our listeners, we did not pay Jack to say that. Jack, we end every show with drink what you like, not what you're told. It's just something.
That's my motto, too, okay. And I'm glad to hear that.
That's how we end every show, because I think too many times people get wrapped up in what they should be drinking, and that was kind of the heart and soul behind starting the Wine Crush, is everyone reading what our big press magazines would put out, saying these are 100-point wines, this is what you have to drink, and people not really understanding them, so they're staying away from wine, which I think hurts the whole industry all the way through, whether it's from the grower all the way to the consumer at the end.
I agree with you, Laura, and I've never thought the 100-point scale made much sense. You know, this wine seems to be about the only consumer product that is scored on a 100-point scale, and it always reminds me of spelling tests in the third grade. You know, it's ridiculous to try to divide quality into 100 different categories, especially when only the top 20 or 30 points of the scale are ever used. If you're looking for a new automobile, you're not looking at things that are scored on the 100-point scale. If you go to a movie, you might see a 3-star or a 5-star rating. If you're looking for a book to read, you'll read a review in the New York Times Book Review. You won't see a 100-point score there. And so it's really more important to pay attention to the qualitative evaluation of the wine rather than the quantitative evaluation.
Something we try and teach our listeners, I know we've gotten way off track, but ultimately this is just great to sit and talk with you, is if you're going to follow reviews, if you're going to pay attention, take the numbers, take the stars, take the puffs, take the rock stars or dollar clefs out of it, but find someone that has a palate that's similar to yours.
Exactly,
whether some
right.
Yeah, someone who you can kind of identify with. If they pick 5 wines and you like 4 of them, that's probably a good person to follow. But
yeah,
past
pay
that,
attention to that person.
You have to, because there's so many people out there. I'd like to think that people follow my reviews, but it doesn't mean that our palates might line up exactly. I'm on a Chardonnay kick. I love Chardonnay. It doesn't mean everyone's going to love the Chardonnays I do, but at least they'll have a base plate and an idea of what I'm going to recommend. So I think it helps. It's so nice to have someone agree with me. Kent never agrees with me. So it's very refreshing.
I do, from time to time. I mean, you know, there has to be a full moon, but that's it.
Yeah, funny. Jack, as you're looking through your new ventures, when you're looking what you're doing at Trivium, when you're looking what you're doing at Benacera, what is your favorite wine? What do you see succeeding most in the future of people liking or people getting their teeth into?
Well, I think, it's boring to say it, but I think Cabernet really is the classic variety of Napa Valley. And, you know, there will always be good Cabernet grown here, good wines made. But there is also room for these un-Cabernets. And my motto now at Benessere is we're the un-Cabernet. We make something that you don't find at every other winery up and down Highway 29. Sangiovese is a lovely alternative to big, rich, even graceful Cabernet because it has a completely different profile. It's much brighter fruit. It's spicier. It's lighter in body. It has a light finish to it, a light long finish instead of a heavy finish. It's a very pretty color.
Is Cabernet's shy cousin. It is, the little wine you can finding here and there. And I think too often people think Sangiovese and they think Chianti and sometimes some of the bad stuff you got in the straw baskets. But having tasted what St. Helena, what California can do on Sangiovese, I wish we could get more people behind it.
Well, and you have to have the right site. You know, a lot of bad Sangiovese, frankly, was made in the mid-90s in Napa Valley by people who were enthusiastic about Italian wines. There was a big explosion of Italian restaurants, Italian wine brands in the early, late 80s, early 90s, and a lot of us got on the bandwagon, but there are very few people left producing Sangiovese because there was so much wine that was made from grapes grown in the wrong locations, priced way too high, didn't compare well to even mid-range Chiantis from Tuscany. And the people who are left doing it now, like Benessere, are the ones who were doing a good job all along and who had the good sites like we do here this gravelly clay soil that's very much like some of the soils you'll find in the Tuscan hills.
Well, without a doubt, and I think also getting away, people were making Sangiovese like they made Cabernet. Like, okay, well, we'll treat it just like a Cabernet and see what happens.
Yeah, well, you can't do that.
You can't. Hey, shockingly, just like you can't make Sauvignon Blanc like you make Chardonnay. Well, Jack, before we get carried away, we're going to have to wrap up here, but where can our listeners find Bonesere, and where can they find your wine, and where can they learn more about you?
Well, of course, a good place for them to go is to our website here, BonesereVineyards.com. And as far as Trivium is concerned, the website for us is triviumwines.com. It's a very simple way to get there. And you can, depending on where you are in the country, if you will call the winery, we can certainly tell you where to find our wines in your neighborhood. We have probably 15 or 16 wholesale distributors around the country. We are available not in every state, but in many of the states where your listeners live. So probably the best way is for them to call, and people can call me directly or call the winery here and get that kind of information.
Well, it's definitely worth tracking down. I personally have not tried your Trivium, but I remember back when Llewellyn was a single vineyard for Trinchero, so I'm dying to get my hands on that bottle.
It's the same block of grapes that we get our fruit from, and Doug and I have been friends and colleagues for a long, long time, and our daughters went to school together, and you know, it feels like family.
That's what it's supposed to be like. Well, Jack, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. It's been a delight talking with you, and you be warned, you hadn't heard the last of me yet. We're going to be tracking you down.
Well, great. I hope you come out here sometime and let me listen to that nice accent of yours. You know, we don't get to hear that kind of speech here in California very often.
Be careful what you wish for, Jack. You never know what's going to happen.
All right. I'll be looking out for you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. See, it's always fun here on The Crush that we get such quality guests that we can get off on tangents and talk about such great, impactful things. And it's interesting because even something like this in the doldrums of summer when we're staring at the vines and we're waiting for harvest, we can find something inspiring. I swear that's the first smile I've had on my face in probably 2 weeks. And Kent, you look
Jack,
really...
I can vouch for that.
Yes, very, very cute. All right, well, we're going to get ready and take a small break here at The Crush. But when we return, remember, the show is all about you. It's about your calls. It's about your emails. So you do need to call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1, and leave a call on the wine line. Kent is always happy to hear from someone besides me. Or you can email me directly at Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com. Because once again, I know some of you have ideas that don't line up exactly with mine, and you're my favorite people to talk to when I'm in a mood like this. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we will definitely get onto your questions and your emails.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Crush, I'm Laura Lawson, and I feel re-energized. I feel vigorous. I feel happy after talking with someone who shares my opinions about wine. It's nice to know I'm not totally off on my own planet half the time. Well, to make sure I'm not totally off on my own planet and stay grounded, we do take calls from our listeners from time to time. And right now, we're going to do just that. We have a call from Rhonda in Ohio. Rhonda, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I was wondering if the alcohol content of a wine remains the same as it ages. I didn't know if there was a difference in that.
If the alcohol content in a wine remains the same as it ages. Well, yes, I would have to assume so, although it doesn't get much chance to age around my house. I just enjoy the content.
So how would you know?
Exactly. I have no grounds whatsoever to answer that question. Actually, the correct answer is yes. The alcohol content remains the same. Once the alcohol content's on the outside of the bottle, then yes, if it says 13.5%, it remains 13.5% because, Kent, as we all know, how is alcohol formed?
Pop quiz.
Pop quiz, yes. We're going to give Kent pop quizzes over the next few shows to see how many times Kent can answer a question we've asked over and over again here on the show.
You know, I know, but I don't want to show off, so why don't you just explain it to the people?
Nice. Alcohol, of course, is formed by yeast-eating sugar. It's a byproduct.
Yes, yeast-eating sugar. That's what I was going to say.
Yes, little Pac-Man. Remember, we've
done
little Pac-Man.
That's right.
Okay, and see, once it gets in the bottle, in theory, all the yeast is dead and all the sugar is converted, so alcohol can't be converted. Now, it does happen occasionally that we do tend to get little live yeast put in the bottle, and they do eat some remaining sugar, so we'll have a secondary fermentation. In that case, it won't necessarily guarantee that it's still 13.5 on the bottle. It's still 13.5 in the juice. But yes, it doesn't matter how much older a wine gets, the alcohol content remains the same. Now, this actually brings up an interesting counter-argument. I got into this with my husband the other night. Now, because of labeling laws, particularly here in the United States, if a wine says it's 13.5% alcohol, that means that the alcohol in that bottle can range anywhere from 12.5% to 14.5%. It can go up or down a whole percentage point. Which you think, okay, that's not that big of a deal. Well, when a wine hits 14%, 14% is actually on the label, at that point, the alcohol percentage in the wine can actually go up 1.5 points, meaning if the alcohol, this wonderful bottle of Chardonnay I have sitting in front of me says 14.5%, that wine can actually be 16% alcohol. So that does tend to present a problem when all of a sudden if I'm drinking a big glass of what winds up 30 proof, it can sneak up on you and cause problems. So keep that in mind that even though The wine in the bottle does not change its alcohol content. It does not mean that the alcohol content accurately reflects what's truly in the bottle. So it should keep you on your toes.
Is that legal?
It is legal, and that is actually written into the law. What happens is the ATF and the BATF, they really wish they could go around from winery to winery and measure every batch, every group that went into the bottling. But ultimately, when you're dealing with something that's, it's a natural product, there's no two ways about it. But once you blend tanks and you have your certain percentage down, you know, whether you're doing one big barrel or you're doing 300 big barrels, you can't guarantee all the way through that this barrel over here, barrel X, has the same content all the way over there as barrel A did. And so by the time you get in a blending situation, you've already printed your labels, you're hopefully already bottling. And in that case, just because the very, very first bottle had a 13% alcohol, well, what if the very, very last bottle has a 13.4% alcohol?
But is there a range? Does it have to be close?
It does have to be within 1 point.
Okay.
So 1 percentage point, yes, everyone can get in trouble. Say Lawson Winery actually starts making wine, and the first Chardonnays that come off the line are 12%. The label says 12%, and then all of a sudden the last bunch of Chardonnay that comes off the line still says 12% in the bottle, and they test it's 14% in the bottle. Yes, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
So ATF can get involved in that. So, Rhonda, I hope that answers your question. Probably didn't help you that much, but it gave me a chance to talk, which always makes me happy. All right. Well, we do have another call on the wine line. We have a call from Eric. Eric in North Carolina. Eric, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about port and possibly recommend some good quality ports.
Eric, what you are asking for a port and recommending good ports is going to take a whole show, and probably we haven't done port, champagne, and dessert wine in a while, so you're going to have to just tune in about a month when it gets cold enough to talk about port. But in the meantime, if you are looking for something worthwhile to drink, I would recommend looking at Taylor. I would recommend looking at Fonseca. I would recommend looking at Delaforce. When we're looking at port, obviously this comes from Porto, and you generally probably want to stick with our imported ports. I know we have a lot of people in California that do them. They're great novelties. They're wonderful. But if you're looking at giving a gift or giving the true experience, I would definitely, definitely look at our friends in Portugal. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap up the show and let you know what to expect in the future editions of the Wine Crush.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20-year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Yeah!
Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today has been a wondrous show. Even though we're doing a lot of hanging around, we're in the dog days, we're sitting and waiting for something to happen. It's great to have guests like we did today with Mr. Jack Stewart, who's seen so much of this happen and who can really quantify for us what we're looking for. Once again, the fact he agrees with me always makes me a happy woman. But he does bring up a great and interesting point that I do want to hit home, both to our restaurants, both to our winemakers, and of course to you, our listeners, the final consumers. We talk about grace. We talk about elegance. And the more you look at what's happening in today's world, whether it's through the economy, you look in politics, you look in religion, and it seems like everybody just strives to have a very loud voice held, and they have a loud voice heard. It's really nice to remember that when it comes to it all, it's about balance, it's about harmony. And when we can find those wines that are graceful, we can find those that are elegant, that don't stand up in the middle of the table, feel the need to do a jig, do the can-can, and say, hey, look at me, I'm the show-off at this table, I am the superstar. That's when we know we found a good balance. Jack brought up a really, really great point, and it's something I encourage those of you who are getting in wine to do. A lot of people are more impressed by what you pay for wine than what's in the bottle. They'll see a label, they'll know its reputation, they'll know its rating, and they'll think, wow, it's the equivalent of driving a Mercedes or living in a McMansion. But ultimately, to really and truly enjoy a dining experience, grab your fellow enophiles, grab the people who love wine, and everyone bring a bottle and tape up the top of it or take the label off and let that be the center of the table. Don't let people compare and contrast. Don't let people worry about it. Once you take the label out of the game, that means everyone can sit back, they can relax, they can talk, and they can speak honestly about the wine. And it's that case, perhaps, where that one graceful wine, where that one elegant wine will very much shine through, whereas its big show-off counterpart would have won the day. So give that some thought. It's about what's in the bottle, not what's on it, that makes it successful. Well, here at the Wine Crush, as always, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.